What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 394, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on rolling. Of course, with me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just trying to acclimate to my new weather here. It's been cold, and then today was like 70 degrees, I think.
Ah, nice.
It's wild. But I'm wearing a hoodie because I'm in the basement, and the heat hasn't been running, but the basement is still very cold because heat hasn't been pumping down here. So yeah, I'm kind of chilly.
But it is a nice hoodie. That's a nice hoodie you got there. It's a Think Computers hoodie you got there. Yeah,
it's nice. It is really nice and soft. Like that.
That's the premium. The premium one.
Like tri-blend.
Tri-blend.
It's nice and fuzzy. Yeah. It's nice.
It feels it's very comfortable and cozy. So, another week back. We are here. I feel like I haven't slept all that much because we've had some graphics card launches and all stuff like that going on, and just a lot of stuff review wise going on with me. So I feel like I haven't really slept. I haven't really left the house much. Just getting a bunch of reviews done, which is always fun. But we have, like I said, a lot of cool stuff to talk about this week. Let's just jump right into it. If you do want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page here. That is going to show you or give you all the notes and everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So if you want to reference something or you want to come back to it, or maybe we're talking about something like, oh, what were they talking about? We have all the articles and all the reviews and everything that we're talking about this week right on our show notes page. Now, let's start things off. A graphics card launched today. The RTX 4080 Super. I know you were talking about supers and you're talking about possibly looking into a super card. Were you excited for the supers, or were you just,
I wouldn't say excited, but I was curious. And the curiosity was like, well, how are they going to compare it to like that 7900 XT, right? What's that
trade-off
battle, I guess, gonna look like, right? That was more of my curiosity, not so much that I expected the supers of these three cards to be so much better than their predecessor, but just what the comparison was between AMD and NVIDIA.
Gotcha. So for the super cards, for those who don't know, the supers are essentially the refresh. So it's been 2 years, so we have a refresh from NVIDIA, and this is going to be the last sort of bastion of the RTX 40 series from what we know. And so if you maybe didn't get, or maybe it wasn't your time to upgrade, or you weren't in the right place to build, now you might be thinking about building. So we have these refreshes. And with any refresh, for the most part, you're not going to expect this massive jump in performance. You're going to get a little bit more performance and some more. A lot of times they refine the architecture. That's not so much the case here. It's just we're getting, with the RTX 4080 Super specifically, we're getting more cores, so they enabled more compute units on the chip itself. So you're getting more cores across the board when it comes to everything. Higher clock speeds. And the best part about this launch compared to the initial RTX 4080 launch is that the price has been reduced. So the initial RTX 4080 Super, or the RTX 4080 non-Super, that was released for $1,200. This card comes out at, again, more cores, higher clock speed, actually faster memory as well, for $1,000. So that's the starting price of this card. So that's kind of the big change when it comes to the RTX 4080 Super. We had a bunch of reviews or a bunch of cards come out. Of course, everybody has all of their cards. And the one that we got to take a look at is this big old card right here. This is the ROG Strix RTX 4080 Super OC, and this is actually the first ROG Strix card that I've reviewed, and we've seen them
ever.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe not like
900 series or 1080.
I think this is the first one. Well, this is definitely obviously the first one in this style. So this is the RTX 40 series style. And Ryan and I have seen these cards. Like we've seen them at CES. Yeah. You see them in builds. A lot of the case mods that we've covered have used this card, but I've never had this card in my hand and been able to pick it up and anything like that, right? It's always been in builds and never got a chance to check it out. And the biggest thing about this card is that, I mean,
it's big.
It's huge.
This is very big.
The card. But the thing I didn't realize is how good the build quality is on this. And that's one thing I really want to talk about. So this part of the card right here, this on every other card out there is what? It's plastic typically, right? Right.
Yeah.
The entire thing is metal. All metal. So I was really impressed with that. It's just like you can, I mean, this is a heavy card when you pick it up. So all metal, which is really nice. And when they first announced this new color, this kind of color change and everything, a lot of people hate it. It was like a love or hate thing. Yeah. I like the way it looks. It looks pretty amazing, I think. It's a 3.5 slot card. So, I mean, it's big. You can see that massive heat sink in there as well. Three fans. These are 110 millimeter fans. So again, you can tell how big this card is. The cool thing about these is we've talked about this before, but you can see the outer frame there is actually like part of the fan.
Right.
That provides better airflow and everything like that. But on top of that, these the other two fans will spin one way, and then the center fan spins the opposite way. ASUS says that that gives it about 22% better cooling capacity, which is really awesome. On the back, full cover metal backplate. And then they have the pass-through cooling on the end there. So the end, you can see the ROG logo, but it's pass-through cooling, which just looks, it looks awesome. And then the iconic, I call it iconic now, because if you see a card and this is lit up here, end cap. But the really cool thing about this end cap is that you see two, it's really hard to see, but there's two fan headers right there. And this actually allows you to connect your case fans directly to the card. And the reason that they do that is that this card has a specific fan curve, right? So on your motherboard, if you connect your fans to your motherboard, the fan curve is going to be based on your CPU only. If you connect the fans to here, it's based off both the CPU and the GPU. So if you're doing something very GPU intensive, you can hook up, you know, one fan can be your intake, one can be the exhaust, and then it's going to give you better cooling for when you're in those really high intense GPU intensive situations, which is really cool. So you have all of that. I'll bring up some of the RGB lighting for you guys to see on this as well, because I think it looks excellent there too.
Yeah, I think this is a card that definitely looks better in person. I wasn't, like you said, it's kind of like a love-hate. I wasn't a big fan of it when I first saw it in pictures, but in person, and the more I've seen it, the more I do appreciate it.
Yeah, so here's, you get, it says Republic Gamers on the side. This is, of course, the side that's going to, if you have a tempered glass side panel, this is what it's going to show. So you have that. And again, this is RGB lighting, so you can make it any color you want. Ton of different effects and everything like that. There's that end cap. And the cool thing about this end cap, and I didn't really realize it until I actually was reviewing this card, is that all the new cases, the cases that are meant to show off our system, they have that front tempered glass window as well. So it almost seems as like ASUS designed this card that way, right? So like if this is, you know, this is what you're going to see if you're looking into the case from the front, which is pretty cool there as well. So yeah, just like I said, it's a good looking card. Talking about the fans specifically, this card, which again is massive, right? Like it's huge. This thing's big, right? We'll talk about this other card in a second that I'm going to show you. This card, see how small it is?
Yes.
The big card is far, far, far quieter than the small card. So ASUS has done a really good job. You know, when you get these big cards with these massive cooling solutions, you're kind of like, oh, it's going to be loud, especially when you, you know, put a heavy load on it. But this thing was so quiet. And I think that's the trade-off. It is a big card. It makes use of a massive heatsink. So, and again, it's bigger, so it uses larger fans. But those larger fans are spinning at a slower speed. And I like that trade-off because this thing is a whisper quiet. Like I was really, really impressed. And again, we've seen this card in builds being used, and you're seeing it in a showroom or whatever, and you can't really tell what the noise level is. But I was like, I turned this thing on and I was like, wait a minute, It is so quiet. So that's something that's really great there as well. Now, this is the OC edition, so it does come factory overclocked. On top of that, if you use their GPU tweak software, you can enable an OC mode, which pushes it as pretty much as high as it can go. There's also a dual BIOS. The dual BIOS does control the fan curve. So there's a quiet mode and a performance mode. You can, you know, change those things as well. But as far as performance, we'll go to the end and we'll look at the actual performance in 1440p and 1440p and 4K. You're not going to get a 4080 level card. You're really not going to get this for 1080p because, especially in most situations, you're going to be CPU limited. Your CPU is going to slow down your max performance. So 1440p, you can see that, you know, it's around, like, across our game tests, it's 161 FPS average across those games. And again, it's beating the RTX 4080 non-super for about 5%, you know, in some cases. So that's what you're going to get at 1440p. And then at 4K, you're still over 60 FPS. You're at 93 overall. And again, it's pretty close with the RTX 4080, the non-super. Again, this is a refresh, so you're not necessarily going to get this massive jump in performance. Still, as you can see way down here, still way behind the RTX 4090, which makes sense. And again, you can see why NVIDIA is really not making a 4090 super, because this is already just a massive amount of performance. I would say in general, the 4080 super is going to be a 4K card that you can play all titles over 60 FPS. It's going to be a great 1440p card, especially if you're pushing a high refresh rate monitor. It's going to look excellent. And like I said, there are a ton of different models out there. I was extremely impressed with this card. Like I said, first time really taking a look at this Asus Strix card. And again, they've had this design and this model throughout their entire 40 series. So you can get pretty much, like, you can get a 4090 that's on the same design. You can get the, you know, all the way down the line for the most part. So I really like this one. Now, again, like I said, the card has a retail or MSRP for the Founders Edition will be $1,000. This is going to be $1,250, so a $250 premium. It's not as hard to stomach. When they initially announced the 4080, they had this exact same card in the normal 4080. It was $350 premium. Whew. So the premium is down to $250. And for a lot of people, that's still a lot of money.
Yeah.
When you can get a Founders or just an MSRP card for $250 less. Now, I will have to say, this is probably the best built graphics card that I've tested. Not that I've seen, but I've tested. Again, the all metal design, the excellent cooling solution, just the fit and finish, obviously the performance. It again, I think it just comes down to if you want to spend the extra $250, right? And all the manufacturers are going to have aftermarket cards with different price points, you know, starting at maybe like $20 to $50 over, then $100, then $200 over MSRP. So you kind of decide what you want. But in, like I said, in my opinion, one of the best graphics cards that I've had the chance to review. So,
I mean, their tough model is only $100 price premium, right?
Yeah.
And you're probably going to get similar performance, maybe not quite as much, but yeah, just something to think about. But yeah, I think that's probably the best built and best looking card.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had the chance to, I've taken a look at the Supreme cards from MSI. Those are really good. I do feel this one's built a little bit better. So just like bringing the metal from the back to the front was just a big thing. And then that cooling solution is just top notch, in my opinion. The only real downside to this card beyond the price premium is that it is a big card. So it's definitely something that you want to keep in mind, not only like thickness, but also in length as well. So those are things you want to keep in mind. And more than likely, it does ship with a a support, a little support thing. So you will probably need to use that because it is such a heavy card as well. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, just awesome. Awesome card. And I really had a lot of fun testing it. So check that review out for sure. But we'll stick on the ROG route. And Ryan took a look at a AIO that I had been eyeing for a while. And yeah, if you want to bring it up on the screen so we can see it. Yep. I do see it behind you. You didn't turn your system on back
there. I don't have it on. Yeah, I don't have it turned on.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, so I took a look at the ROG Ryujin 3. Hang on, this is a mouthful, so let me just start over. The Asus ROG Ryujin 3 360 ARGB White Edition.
Whew.
Right? Say so this is not this is an all-in-one, yeah, liquid cooler. And I was just like impressed by everything on this thing. It's got all the bells and whistles you could want out of an all-in-one cooler. And has all of the like little nuanced pieces that Asus is just known for, especially on their ROG line of products. If you've ever bought one, like I've used, you know, ROG motherboards. That's like my main experience with ROG products. And they'll like come with a little nicer packaging, and just like it's almost like that nice unboxing you get with an Apple product or something. And the same thing is true here with this cooler, right? They've got a nice retail box that opens up nicely. Everything's laid out well inside of the box. As you can see here, everything had its own little component and was nice. It's just a premium experience that you get with an ROG product. Comes with mounting hardware for, you know, all the current AMD and Intel sockets and mounting options here. You get some cool ROG stickers if you want to toss those onto your setup. And then, of course, all the mounting hardware for the fan, the radiator, all the cabling and things like that. Not that there's a lot of cabling, and we'll get to that in a minute. Let's go ahead and go to the next page, just getting a closer look at some of these components. So they do offer this in a 240 and a 360 millimeter option, as well as a black and white version. So we took a look at the 360 millimeter version in the white color. And that white is essentially everywhere on this cooler, right? You've got a white radiator, white fans, white tubing, white pump housing. Everything on there is white, except for some of the cables. That there's two cables that come off of the pump housing itself. There's a USB cable for the LCD screen that's built into the unit, as well as the PWM header. And those are black cables. I'm like, Asus, I know, like they make white cables.
Yeah. Just
put white cables on here. And then the screws for the fans and the radiator were black. Like, I think it would have like those two little things would have just like set it perfect off, yeah, aesthetically. You know what I mean? It still looks great. I mean, there's a ton of attention to detail. One thing I want to point out, though, is that this radiator, typically what we see thickness-wise on radiators in these all-in-one coolers is a 27-millimeter thick radiator. Asus went with 30 millimeters, so you get 3 extra millimeters of thickness, which may not sound like a lot, but that's like a, what, 10% increase in thickness. So there's a little more thin surface area for air to blow across, so you're going to get some increased cooling performance with this radiator in theory, right? As long as you got fans that can push through that extra thickness, which Asus has outfitted these this unit with some new fans that have a little more static pressure, a higher pressure rating, in order to push through that additional fin density, which is really nice. Yeah, so again, like I said, they are white components here. A nice stamped ROG piece on the side. We've seen that from a couple companies where they kind of put their name or something on the side of the radiator itself. Outside of that, though, nothing really special about the radiator and the connections. You know, it's got your standard tubing. They did go from 5 millimeter inner diameter to 7, so that should help out with the flow of liquid inside of the cooler. And let's see here. Yeah, that's, I think, everything I wanted to say about the radiator itself. This is the pump housing here. And really, like, it's kind of plain in shape when you first look at it. It's just like this rectangular box. But it has a nice 3.5-inch color LCD on there that looks really nice. And we'll get to kind of some of the graphics that it can display and things like that. But it's just this nice white aluminum top with a little Republic of Gamers text there on the front. And it actually pulls off from the top. Now, pulling off from the top doesn't really have any function. It's not like you need to orient it in different ways because, you know, whatever you put on that screen could be oriented, right? Your content. So it is just a nice way of pulling it off. You know, I think there's some options they could offer in the future for maybe a different look or a different top to the cooler if they want, if you wanted to swap it out, kind of like we saw Corsair do with their original kit, with some of their IQ cooling products. They added the screen. You could do some other things, I think, with the similar connections here. But underneath that screen, we get access to a small fan that is designed to cool the VRMs around your CPU socket. So we get some of that additional cooling for the components around there that aren't necessarily getting the airflow to them that you might see with a standard air cooler, right? Some of those air coolers that you review have some of those bottom fins that like point down to direct air to the VRMs. That's what the purpose of this fan is here. And Asus says that it can reduce temperatures of your VRMs up to 35 degrees Celsius, which is really nice. Helps with, you know, those high power usage CPUs or overclocking scenarios when you need to make sure that that power conditioning and power delivery is nice and cool to allow for those additional clocks. So cool little fan there, which is really nice. Got your standard copper base plate here with pre-applied thermal paste. This is an eighth generation Asetek pump design as well. So it's their, you know, newest design from Asetek. And it has a 32% larger cold plate for those larger CPUs and their heat spreaders there. Again, this is like the only black plastic you see on the cooler here is just where the swiveling connections come out of the unit itself. And again, there's those two black cables that I mentioned earlier. One of the cool things though about the sides of the cover for this is you've got this venting here, but it's got very subtle ROG aesthetics to it. Here you can see the ROG logo just a little bit on the side, which I thought was really a nice design. They could have just put these angled vents, but they added their own design aesthetic to it. Same thing for the top edge here. You can just kind of see ROG on the plastic. It's very subtle, but just a nice, again, piece of attention to detail that you get with an ROG product. And then on the other side, and you can see these little like angled ventilation areas, that's to direct that airflow to the VRMs that are surrounding nice. This cooler. You should have a look at that screen. Like I said, it is a 3.5 inch screen. 60 frames per second is what it runs at, supports 24-bit color. You can store up to 32 megs of data on the unit itself, and animations up to 2,000 frames on here, which is four times as many as the previous version. So you can just store a lot higher quality or longer length animations and stuff on this screen itself. The fans that come with it are their new ARGB fans. And the cool thing about these, like we've seen with a lot of new fans, is that they are daisy chainable without any connecting cables. So they're using a pogo pin and magnetic style connector to supply both power for the fan itself and control for the LEDs that are built into the hub. They snap together really nicely. I mean, they're snug. You just get them close to each other. Bam, they pop in. They're kind of keyed with a little peg and hole here so that you can't like really screw them up and, you know, try and attach the wrong sides to each other, which is really nice. They're going to have your standard, you know, rubber pads in the corners. Again, like you just mentioned with that Strix graphics card, they had the fan blades that were attached at the edges. Same thing with these fans here. They are attached to get that directed airflow and better sound as well. Now, you do have to connect these fans to your system itself, and we do that with, again, a magnetically connected connection. The cool thing though is they provide both a male and a female end, so you can decide which side of the combo of fans you're connecting to your system. So let's say you were putting this radiator at the front of your case in a vertical orientation. Maybe you want the cable to come out at the top, so you would connect to the one side. Or if you wanted the cable to be at the bottom, you can put the other cable at the bottom and connect to your motherboard. So it gives you some options there just nice versatility and like cable management, keeping things clean because we have no cables between the fans. They wanted to do their best to make sure that where they do have to have cables, it makes the most sense for keeping things clean. Super easy to install. Like I said, those fans click together really easily with the magnets. Black screws on there, but what, can't win them all. They've got nice amount of room here too to make that attachment for the cooler. You know, they've thought about those things. It's not like you know, they put these connections on the end but then you run into the cooling tubes. Nope, they've thought of everything with those. Comes with the standard Intel and AMD brackets. Like I mentioned, installation was super easy. You do have to replace the stock AMD mounting hardware on the ends, but it's just four screws to pull them off. Throw the Asus ones on, no big deal. And let's get over to testing and some looks at the screen here. Now, this did perform pretty nicely. It is in second place, essentially, for idle temperatures, as you can see here, right at the bottom of, well, I say bottom, nearly the bottom of the idle temperatures. So great performance at idle. And then it's our second best performing all-in-one cooler under load. And it's only essentially losing by 2 degrees Celsius, nice. Right? So very, very nice performance here without making a bunch of noise either, which is really nice. Now, the software that you can use to customize and control this is Asus's Armory Crate. And you can do all sorts of things with the display. You can put your own animation there. You can make it a stock or a static wallpaper image. There's some text that you could add to the screen, all sorts of combinations of, you know, custom images, factory installed images and animations. You can also control the fan and pump speed with the software there. So you can adjust either via the pre-configured fan modes, right? Silent, standard, full speed, things like that. Or you can set your own modes depending
on your is this your first time using Armory Crate?
No, I have Armory Crate on this, on my main rig.
Okay.
But just for like, you know, because I have it on there, but it's my first time using it on this, on the test system. It's also running a ROG motherboard. So I have like, what's it called? AI suite installed, right? For tuning things and just system monitoring. But it was the first time I'd really used Armory Crate to control one of their components.
So, gotcha.
And it's very intuitive, especially since I had already used AI Suite before. Like, it's very, very easy to use. So here's a couple shots of just some of the images of the screen itself. Really nice colors on there. Looks really good. Just really impressed
with. I like that's like, I think that size screen is perfect too, right?
Yeah, it's not like enormous. And I like that it's not like some of the round ones do look nice. Like I like the look of the round design, but the rectangular shape, you're just used to like content coming in that rectangular format. So I think it looks really nice. And then I put together a video showing just like what it looks like to make those configuration changes to the screen in the software while showing it live on the screen. So it's just like a little overlay there showing that. So if you want to see what it looks like in real time, we've got a video there on the site for you. So you can take a look at that. Overall, I gave this a 9 out of 10. I think it's amazing. Like there's just so many pieces of attention to detail, like great performance, easy installation. You've got those magnetic daisy chain fans that just clean up your cable management. Good build quality, nice little LCD, the VRM fan, the thicker radiator for additional cooling, right? Those are all things I put in the pros list for this. It's just everything has that attention to detail taken care of, and I really like it. Now, you're going to pay for that attention to detail and some of these additional pieces, right? In order to get those nice fans and the 3.5-inch LCD and the larger radiator, you're going to end up with a price of $349. For this all-in-one cooler, which is quite a bit compared to some lower featured 360 millimeter AIOs, right? You can get them for $150, but you're not going to get nearly the feature set that you're going to get with this cooler. So it does have that ROG price premium, but I think it's worth it in this instance. So yeah, we gave it a 9 out of 10 and the recommended award because it looks great. It performs well. Installation super easy. It's a nice, clean, you know, I keep going back to the cleanliness because there's not all those extra cables and the cable clutter and frustration with installation. It's, yeah, I love this thing.
Nice. Yeah. Well, yeah, so I was going to ask you, you know, you reviewed a ton of AIOs, pretty much from all my, I would say from pretty much all the big names.
Yeah,
minus like a Swift Tech. I don't think you've taken a look at a
Swift Tech. Yeah, we haven't ever looked at a Swift Tech.
Yeah, but like from AIO. Pretty much all the names. What, like, how would you, in terms like, where does this sit on the scale? Take price out of the equation. Like, where does this sit on the scale? Is it, you know, one of the best? Is it kind of in the middle? Like, is there somebody that did something better? Like, how does it kind of sit in that?
I'd say towards the top. You know, I've looked at, let's see here, which have I looked at recently? Like the Corsair units that have the screen, NZXT, like those are the ones that I'm thinking of as far as screen models go. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the most polished of them. But it's also multiple years after they had their screen models. And this isn't necessarily the first model from Asus with a screen on it, right? Correct. It's just the first one that we've looked at and that I've looked at personally. Yeah, I would say it's towards the top. But again, it's got all those feature sets that they just don't really have they have a lower end cooler that's not the Ryujin, right? Like, that doesn't have a screen. But they have, I don't know, I just feel like both of their offerings in the all-in-one cooler arena are just a at a level where you just get more features.
And the crazy thing is that, like, you say all that and it's, you know, like you said, it's in your top, kind of, that's what, you know, you would pick, you gave it the recommended award.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But like, when you think of Asus, you don't think of AIOs.
No. And I think that they're trying to change that, right? It used to be, you think of Asus and you're like, oh, they make motherboards and video cards, right? You've got monitors, cooling, fans, you've got cases, power supplies, you know, they've got their ROG branded memory. Like, there's, they don't make a CPU, I guess, but everything else you can build, you can outfit a system with everything ROG other than a CPU. Yeah. So they're definitely out there. I would put it towards the top of the AIOs that I've taken a look at.
Nice.
For sure.
Well, definitely check that review out. I think Ryan did a really great job on that one too. So moving back to real quick in the chat, my buddy Corey's in the chat. I want to say what's up to Corey. Moving back to graphics cards, I did show you this card. This is a Radeon RX 7600 XT. This is the Sapphire Pulse version. As you can see, I would say it's smaller. I wouldn't say it's a normal size card, but it's a smaller graphics card.
Yeah.
Dual fan cooling solution on this one. It does have a full cover metal backplate. And if you're familiar with like Radeon cards and Sapphire, you kind of know the Pulse series, just like you would know like the ROG series from Asus. This is strictly a two slot card as well. So you can see there's no overhang really or any. Oh, I almost broke my.
Hello.
Yeah. there's no overhang or anything like that. Now, the 7600 XT is an interesting card because when AMD came out with the 7600 non-XT, they completely maxed out the chip that was currently, or the GPU that was currently in there. So it was based off the Navi 33 and they completely maxed it out. So in order to get a price, a card that's the XT version, you don't want to go to the next chip up because it's going to be too expensive and you're going to cut down that chip. So we're kind of wondering what they were going to do. And it actually took them a long time to really come out with this card. I think the only reason they really came out with this card is because NVIDIA was launching, because the first one came out in like March or something.
That's been a while.
Yeah, but the big drawback with the original 7600 non-XT is that it had 8 gigabytes of VRAM. And you can go on Reddit and you can go other places and you can find people that say absolutely that 8 gigabytes is not enough for modern gaming, even at 1080p, whatever it may be. They're diehard saying we need more than 8 gigs, and in some instances they can be right. But that was a big knock against that card. So basically what AMD did is this is a Radeon RX 7600 with 16 gigabytes of VRAM and higher clocks. So that's what you get with the XT. You're not getting a new chip or a different chip or more cores or anything like that. You're getting higher clock speeds and you're getting double the VRAM. So that's kind of what you're getting with this card. I showed you the Sapphire card. It is kind of, you know, it's kind of just, I wouldn't say it's super entry level, but it's a decent looking card overall. Now, this card, I would say at the end of the day is going to be a 1080p card. And it's going to be a 1080p card that's going to give you a little bit more headroom than you got with the 7600. It's going to sit between the RTX 4060 and RTX 4060 Ti. So it's going to slot in between those pretty well. And if you look at our scores here, it basically does sit between those two cards. So at 1080p, we're at about 105 FPS across our game tests. So definitely well over 60 FPS. And again, that 16 gigabytes of VRAM is going to give you some extra headroom. If you want to load some of those high-end textures and some of the other stuff you might want to do, you can go ahead and do that. Also, 16 gigabytes of VRAM, you can do some like AI stuff or whatever, some of the other stuff that you may want to do. Also, that 16 gigabytes of VRAM will help you out in video editing and modeling applications that can make use of all the VRAM as well. Something to keep in mind. If you wanted to bump up to 1440p, we still got over 60 FPS average in our game test, around 70 FPS. I wouldn't necessarily recommend this card for 1440p, but if you want to turn down some settings, you can definitely run this card at 1440p. It's not going to give you much more than 60, 70 FPS unless you turn some things down. But overall, it's a decent card. Like I said, it slots in pretty much perfectly between the 4060 and the 4060 Ti. AMD does have their FSR3 with this, which is basically their version of DLSS, which means you can, you know, render a scene at a lower resolution and then bring it, you know, and then run it at a higher resolution. It works pretty well. They also have real-time ray tracing with this card. Still not as good as NVIDIA because NVIDIA has specific cores for that where AMD puts that off on the shading cores on this. So when it comes to like the extra features, I would say NVIDIA is still kind of the big dog when it comes to those things. I also would say that the game adoption for those technologies is definitely on NVIDIA's side as well. So if your game may or may not support these technologies that AMD has, the adoption has gotten much better, but it's still not, you know, where NVIDIA is. This card is $330, which is the MSRP for this is a MSRP model, so it's going to be $330. I do think that $330 is still too expensive for this card. This card needs to be kind of where the 4060 is, you know. Okay. The 4060 is currently is what, 270, or wait, no, 270 is the 7600. The 4060 is 390, really. In any case, it needs to be around $300, in my opinion. I would say, just because AMD needs to be aggressive with this, you're not getting much more than what you got with the original 7600. You are getting double the VRAM, but it's the same chip. They need to be competitive, and I think to be competitive, it needs to be around $300. And like I said, it's 22% increase in price, and it's definitely not 22% faster than the 70 than the non-XT. So that's something to keep in mind with this Sapphire card. I did say that this little card is louder than that big Asus card that we were talking about. And that's kind of expected because you only have two fans and all of that. But I would have liked this card to be a little bit quieter overall. But if you're looking for a 1080p card and you want some extra headroom, maybe you want to mess around with, you know, running your own AI stuff on your own computer, running it off the GPU, or you want some extra VRAM for video editing or modeling or something like that, this could be a good card. But just keep in mind, for the most part, it is going to be a 1080p card with some extra headroom. So check out the review if you are interested. We would have had this on launch day, but they didn't send it correctly. So I got it on Friday and we posted the review on Monday.
Sounds like the other card too.
Yeah. We didn't talk about this. So so with this Asus card, I didn't even know I was getting this card. I did not know at all. And then Ryan says, there's a 4080 super at my house. And I go, what? And Asus had sent this to Ryan. I was like, oh, we gotta get that over to me.
It must have happened because I had already gotten this cooler like recently, right? Yeah. So I'm guessing like something just
And this isn't the first time. Ryan's sent a lot of
things. Oh yeah, Cooler Master recently was off their game.
Cooler Master kept on sending Ryan things that were supposed to go to me, and like I would like correct them and then they would send it again to Ryan.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny at the time. But we got all our reviews, we got our graphics card reviews done. Like I said, I don't think we will talk about something where we might see another launch, but it's not a bigger launch. I think from both AMD and NVIDIA, there's not going to be that much more for the rest of the year. So if you are looking to buy, I wouldn't say right now's the time to buy, because especially with the supers, they're all like way overpriced because there's not a lot of stocks. A lot of people are currently buying them. But like I said, through February and March is going to be a good time to buy if you are going to buy. Hopefully the stocks of the cards can keep up there for sure. So we'll move on from there to I did want to talk about really quick. I did put out a video on Monday I'm trying to get back to doing one video on the YouTube channel a week, and just trying to keep that up. Although I have like so much stuff here, it might be more than one a week, but we'll see how all of that goes. But I took a look at the Corsair A115. If you guys remember, we talked about the review. It is this cooler right here. Oh, ads.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but it is this cooler. Let me pause it. Of course, it's the first Corsair cooler in about 4 years, air cooler, that is. And this is just video. So if you want to check it out, check it out on the YouTube channel. The link is in the show notes. And we'll move on from there to Case Mod Friday. And we have a build called Project Sphere. And this one is from Fen Systems. And I have to say, it's just like, it's sleek.
It's called Sphere, but it's like not a sphere. I don't know.
I would say this is, they need a white monitor, but this is clean. This looks clean right here. But the actual build itself is in that Inwin. Is this the 303?
No. 303 is just like the kind of basic with the side three. This is the
EK collab though of the three.
No, it's like the 90. It's a 9 series case.
Okay.
Does it say in the parts list?
No, it doesn't. No. But I mean, look how like one thing I really like about this, it's kind of like that matte gray, like that matte silver look on the tubing, and then they match that on the cabling right here as well. And you can see like the close up of that silver color.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. It's like overall just a cool looking build. I really like, the thing I like about Fen Systems, like we always talk about these builders and how they have their own style. Their style is always just like really just sleek, like super, super sleek look overall. You can see that the tubing there, the EK. And
it's not the, what case is this? Cause it's not the 909.
I think it's like the 313, but it's the EK version.
No, it's the 919 909. 909. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's on a 3 Series case.
Gotcha. But yeah, just a sleek build overall. Definitely check it out. And we have, like I said, we have all the pictures and all the info, and of course, a link to their Facebook if you want to check out the rest of their builds and things like that. But yeah, go ahead and check that out. Before we get into news, want to say what's up to Old Man in the chat. He hasn't been. We've missed Old Man in the chat for a couple recently, weeks now. Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah. So good to see him in the live chat here. We'll move on to news. Talking about the RTX 4080 Super, one of the cool cards that was announced. And most companies had all their cards ready to go because all the cooler designs were already done. But one that I did want to talk about is the Noctua Edition 4-slot. it's so big, but it has two of the Noctua fans, and you hate it or you love it when it comes to those colors.
We saw this last year at CES on the previous,
yeah,
or what was it on?
Was that was
just
on
it was just a 4080, right? Yeah. So I mean, it's essentially the same look as the 4080, the previous one. It looked good, like in person. I've gone back and forth on my love and hate for Noctua fans and the color scheme. I think
they need to make a Chromax black version.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, two of Noctua's high end fans there. And again, it's massive 4-slot cooler. But yeah, they came out with that $450 premium on that one.
Good Lord.
Yeah. That,
No, thank you.
Yeah, because I think these fans by themselves are like $40 or $50 a pop.
But then all you got then is the heatsink, the different heatsink, and
yeah, it's
proud.
I don't know.
And I doubt that one's all metal. I bet that's plastic shroud.
Yeah.
Just by the design language on it.
Well, in any case, that's out there if you want to pick it up. I think if I was doing like a Noctua build, I'd get that card. But I mean, I'd rather have this card in my system than that.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know. But yeah, so that came out. And then talking about like if there is possibly going to be another launch of a graphics card, it's going to be more towards the low end. And we see a RTX 3050 featuring 6 gigabytes of VRAM. It came up on a e-tailer in Europe. MSI RTX 3050.
I hate this all the
way back. We remember there was a, I forget what it was, maybe a Computex last year. There was a RTX 3050 box sitting below this thing. It was just like sitting there, and we always like, okay, is this, you know, and we hadn't heard anything about a 3050 or anything like that. So we don't know when this is coming out or if it's coming out, but that's what we got. So
I hate seeing a 30 series card, right? Like coming out now. It's just adds confusion. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We shall see. Also talking about graphics cards and AMD being aggressive on price. They dropped their price on their RX 7800 XT, of course, to compete with the new supers that are coming out and the pricing. You could pick this up for as low as $479.99. That's $499 with a $20 rebate on Newegg. Okay, the price just changed. I literally checked this morning, and the price just changed.
Well, that's no fun.
Yeah. But it was $499, and then you could get a $20 mail-in rebate. So which would make it $479.99 for a 7800. Yeah. 7800X. I don't know why I said 4800. 7800XT, which is the lowest that it's ever been. So yeah. Getting aggressive on price.
They probably all sold out.
Yeah, that's probably why. That's probably like a third party. Third party seller trying to gouge us over here. I like now that all the cards are out for the most part, we know everything that's going to be, you know, we know all that's out there. Now it's going to be a price game coming up till the next launch, which will be probably at the end of the year, if not into 2025. Jeez, man, 2025.
It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, but so price is going to be a thing coming down the line. So you'll see price drops. You'll see competition between AMD and NVIDIA, which is always good. So I'm all for that, which is awesome. So, but yeah, no, I checked this morning to see if the price was still there. And this morning it was $499. Must have changed. So talking about graphics cards and fast memory, Samsung is going to be revealing their 37 gigabit per second GDDR7 memory. You'll see that on future graphics cards. So 37 gigabits per second. I'm not sure what the fastest GDDR6X is. Like, I know on this card, it's 24 gigabits per second. So moving up to 37 is going to be really fast. Things are just getting faster, and you'll possibly see this on the next generation of graphics cards.
Right.
So yeah, something to look forward to. I think that things are like how fast things are getting so quickly, is especially when it comes to memory and storage, is kind of, I don't know if it's getting out of hand, but it might be getting out of hand of how fast things are going. And this is something I wanted to talk to you about, Ryan. So Max Sun, who's mainly sold in China, they came out with this motherboard. This is their H770YTX. And YTX is a new form factor that you guys can see here. And it's made for mini ITX systems. You know, the mini ITX systems, sort of like the Fractal Design Terra and some of the other ones, mm-hmm. that, you know, they're longer than they are taller. And this YTX form factor basically adds, I would say, what, another 3 inches to
it. It almost looks like it's an ATX board with the bottom chopped off, but I think it's actually wider than an ATX motherboard.
It looks slightly wider, but you could be right as well. But in any case, it's basically, you know, you guys can see what it looks like, but I like this because so many of those boards are, you know, like this, usually especially if it's a smaller case, like the power supply would be here, but if this is all low profile, like this is for M.2 slots, you still
get the power supply there. Yeah,
you could still fit the power supply there, which is awesome. And again, this design, you can see the connections on the back of the board, so you're not really going to run into that problem with like a big power connector because it's on the back.
Yeah, I like this a lot.
Yeah, now we did, and we can't really say much, but we did see a motherboard that was in this form factor at CES from a company that doesn't make motherboards, but it was their motherboard. So I think this might be like the new thing. And they had a case that was specifically made for this form factor. Do you see this catching on?
I think it definitely could, because just look at it. They've got two M.2 slots on the front there, right? Yeah, I think it has the potential. I think you could also, maybe not, depending on clearances, I guess. Like, would this allow you to put four sticks of memory on here, right?
Yeah, with clearance, maybe not.
Right. I you know, I don't know what...
But it does give specs. You more room on the board, right?
Absolutely.
For more things. Like, so, you know, on this board, you
can maybe better audio or...
Better audio or, like, more... Like, this has two SATA, even though, again, small form factor, but, like... You could add more headers. You could add, there's just more room, you know. It's easier for the end user as well. Like, you know, getting into, like, so here we see three M.2s. You see the main one, and then you see the two here, right, on the side. Right. Now, on a lot of new motherboards, you'll get this one, and you'll get two on the back, right? But getting to those ones on the back in a small form factor build means that you got to pull the entire board out, where here they might be easier to access. And again, like Ryan said, you could put audio components. There's a lot of other things, because the audio trace is, well, I guess it's coming from here all the way over to there.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I like this. This opens up the possibilities. It would make like that case size more standard too, because when it comes to mini ITX, like there's ones that are more cube-like, there's ones that are elongated like this. Like, I think that it would
So many of them are long because you're shoving a GPU in there then that is twice as long as your motherboard is, right? So
I like this. And again, the connections on the back of the board as well. Really cool. So cool to see. We'll see. I think we'll see some announcements at Computex about these type of boards. So definitely stay tuned for that. In the chat, Old Man said Best Buy had the 4080 Super in stock today. And they sold out. Yeah, I did see it in stock. They had a bunch of models in stock, not just the reference as well. They had a bunch in stock and they sold out. So snooze you lose, I guess, on that one. But they'll come back in stock for sure. So moving over to handheld gaming stuff. Aya Neo came out with their Flip, which we did talk about. They said it's the world's first Flip dual screen Windows handheld.
Okay.
I like what Aya Neo is doing. They have a lot of really cool models. I don't need my in a small compact system where system resources are at a
premium.
At a premium, I don't need an extra screen that's going to show me system stats and
it's going to drop my battery life.
It's going to drop my battery life. It's also going to we've talked about it. And I'm not we know how taxing these monitoring softwares can get and bloated and all that stuff. Like, I don't need this screen here. I just don't. Maybe if there was some interaction with this screen and this screen, but everything that they're showing, just shows, here's a game I'm playing. Here's the stats. Like, I don't need that. I'm not going to be looking down.
Right.
On it. I don't know what your opinion is on it.
Nope, I agree. It's like a grown up, Nintendo DS.
I like the keyboard.
Now the keyboard practical.
Yeah. This starts at what, $649?
Is that $699?
$699. It starts at $699. So yeah, I would take the keyboard one. Little handheld. The keyboard makes it sort of like you could be maybe productive because it's running Windows. Sort of. Although typing on that, probably not the best experience.
I'm thinking thumbs, right?
Yeah,
small enough to get your thumbs across. But
it's like it's like a newer version of a Sidekick. But like,
there you go. Yeah.
Pretty cool. I like to see new handhelds, and like I said, Aya Neo is doing some really cool stuff with small form factor systems. So cool to see this. We'll see if they expand on it in the future. And also talking about gaming handhelds. Was it November? We saw the Asus ROG Ally come out.
And what, November? No, it's been
September?
It's been, it's been at least.
It looks like the successor to it is already going to be launching. Probably, I would assume it would probably launch around the same time, right? But like a year later already?
I mean, we saw the news with the MSI Claw, right? Like, we saw it at CES, and they're like, oh, the Claw 2's being worked on. So
yeah. But yeah, it looks like you could see ROG Ally 2. I would say it would come out
for holiday season.
For holiday. Yeah, for holiday, for sure. It's way too early for back to school. Because this is like one of those devices that would be like a back to school device type thing. But I think that holiday season where you'd be you get new chipset from, probably they'll probably work with AMD again on it, you know what I mean? So pretty interesting on that front. And then if you want a ton of power, you're running for some reason you're running 249s. I don't know why,
for
you
whatever
would.
Reason
yeah or you got a lot of power going on. Cooler Master has launched their X Mighty series of power supplies, 2000 watts and 2800 watts. And you can see that it has two of the 12VH PWR power connectors. And these are the new ones. This is an ATX 3.1 power supply. Still doing 600 watts on each. So just these two cables, you can pull 1200 watts out of this, out of the power supply, just the two cables. Doesn't include everything else. Yeah, I mean,
those are beasts. 2800 watts.
They're 80. It's, they're both 80 plus platinum power supplies. Like I said, ATX 3.1. They do include a 90 degree adapter. You can kind of see it in the photo up here. Yep. Right there. Includes a 90 degree adapter, which is definitely nice to see. Digital monitoring, everything like that. Yeah, I don't know if like they, well, if the Cooler Master website will load. If there's anything else. Yeah, PCI Express 5.1. That's a, these are big power supplies too. Yeah, lots of cool stuff on this thing. I wonder how much these are. That's what I want to know. Probably don't have price. How much do you think these would be?
500? I don't even want to know. Yeah.
500?
At least.
At least 500 bucks? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you need high-end power supplies, Cooler Master has,
they got you covered.
They definitely got you covered there. So that is it for news for the week. Coming up next week, we're supposed to get it done this week, but graphics cards just showed up. So is the Lexar NM790. PCI Express 4.0 NVMe SSD, 7,400 megabytes a second read, 6,500 megabytes a second write. I will have that for you next week. Then I'm taking a look at a pretty cool keyboard. So this is the Arbiter Studio Polar 65. New company to us, this thing. I took it out. Like, you know when you get a mechanical keyboard and you take it out of the box and it's just like heavy and it just feels good? Mm-hmm. This was that keyboard when I took it out of the box. It's a cool looking keyboard.
Nice and solid, yeah.
This is the color design that I have too, with the blue. Kind of matches everything very well. I really like it. But yeah, just a nice keyboard. So like I said, 65%. We'll be taking a look at that next week as well.
I did want to say a reminder that we were on Home Gadget Geeks last week as well.
Oh yeah, we didn't Thursday talk about that after our show.
Yeah, so we were a guest on Jim's show, Home Gadget Geeks. So you can head over to like theaverageguy.tv or just.
Yeah, we did throw a link the day after up on social media.
Check the video that out if you want another recap and discussion of some of our CES coverage. Chatting with Jim over there. So always a good time on his show as well.
Yeah. And it's always good to chat to Jim. And I totally forgot to even like mention it on our podcast, and then the next day, which would have been the Thursday, I had forgot to put it up on social media. Then the next day I was like, oh, I need to put it, like I need to link the video. So I did, but it is on our X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. It's on there, it's on Facebook. I did link it for sure. So cool. And that brings us to the question of the week, and we've been pulling questions that we get on our YouTube. So we do get a lot of questions. And the question for this week is, why are there two 8-pin EPS connectors on my motherboard, and do I need to plug both in? I'm going to bring up a picture of a motherboard that has two 8-pin EPS connectors if you're not sure what that is. But that is your CPU power connections. Let's find the picture. Okay, so we'll bring this up for you guys. So these are your EPS connectors on your motherboard, and they're typically in the top corner. So on this motherboard, they are up here kind of hidden. That's what brings power into your CPU. So if you don't connect these, your system more than likely will not post. So that's kind of how this works. And as you can see on this motherboard, we have two. And the question is, why is there two, and do I need to plug in two? One, do you need to plug into? For the most part, no, you do not. These, for the most part, will bring anywhere from 280 to 300 watts of power through them, and most CPUs don't ever pull more than that. Even new, brand new high-end CPUs do not pull more than that. And the rule of thumb typically, now I would read your motherboard's manual, but the rule of thumb typically is the connector that's closest to your CPU, so it would be this one, that is the one that you want to connect. Now you can connect two. It's not going to hurt the system. It's not going to pull more power. It's not going to do any of that. If your power supply does have both cables, you can plug them both in. But you don't need to. It's not required. Your system will boot with just one. And the reason that there's two is that in overclocking situations and mostly, for the most part, overclocking situations, you might need more power than what one's going to supply. So you do have the second one. Not only will that give you better, like it will give you more power, but it's going to give you more stable power to your CPU when you're in extreme overclocking situations. Even if you're running the latest 14900K, you only need to plug one in for the most part. But if you have if your power supply has two cables, just plug them in, but it's not going to damage your system. And if you only have one plugged in, you're still going to run every processor out there. It's still going to run no problem. I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to add on the end of that.
I don't think so. Sometimes you will see, like, on much lower end motherboards, you'll see maybe just a 4-pin even up there. You don't see, I don't feel like it's as common anymore. And a lot of times these EPS connectors from the power supply are the modular kind where you can kind of pull it apart. And that's mm-hmm. where you just need to figure out what the keying is on there. And you can connect just the 4-pin. Or I've even seen an 8-pin and a 4-pin. Right. I've seen those combinations
as well. That's very common as well.
It's an instance where if you're not sure, check your motherboard's manual, either the printed one or check online. But there's a couple different combinations. The dual 8-pin, though, is kind of becoming more common, especially on, like you said, higher end boards that are going to support more extreme overclocking and allow you for some better power efficiency and stability, things like that.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Old man in the chat says his 12900K will pull over 220 watts out of the box with stock settings. Yeah, that's why like one cable is good enough. Like I said, even for the 14900K. But I mean, if you overclock even 12900K, 13900K, 14900K, it's gonna I've seen some people like pull way too much power. So you definitely want to connect that second connector, but that's all it is. And like I said, like Ryan said, read the manual, mm-hmm. Whatever the manual says, I would follow that. But if you, for some reason, don't have your manual, again, typically rule of thumb, and I think it will work both ways. Like you typically can doesn't really matter which one you plug it into, but the rule of thumb would be the one that's closest to the CPU is typically the default. So that's the one that you want to go ahead and connect. But yeah, that's why you have two, and that's how you should have them connected. So hopefully that will help you guys out. And we're at the end here.
That's it.
Did you do anything tech related? Have any tech stuff going on? Want to talk about any TV, movie things?
What did I watch? I watched a movie. What movie did I watch? Oh, we watched Dumb Money. It's about the GameStop stock. Rise and fall, I don't remember what it was on, what platform, but it was good. There's a lot of bigger names in the movie. Seth Rogen's in it. Just a bunch of people, and it was good. I enjoyed it.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. I started watching Reacher on, I think it's on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
It's pretty good so far. It's not really tech related or anything, but it's something that I watch more than one episode of, because there's a lot of shows that I'm like, oh, I'll check it out, and then after one episode I'm like, this is a waste of my time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that is pretty much it, guys. Of course, After the podcast, we always do our gaming stream as well. Ryan runs that stream over at Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputer. So if you want to keep on hanging out with us, we will be playing some Apex Legends. I feel like last week I didn't play well at all, so I want to try to redeem myself this week. So we'll see how that goes. But that is it for the week, and we will see everybody next week.